The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they certainly are entertaining. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Wouldn't that be good if we actually used a life lesson for faith? Yeah, that'd be good. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Terrific T and David still wonder that today. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So we're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process, that thing right there. So if you're going through something, you got a prayer request, a praise report, you got a comment, you got an opinion, you have a question about something the Lord's doing in your life, you want to share something that the Lord's doing in your life, we'll have Bible trivia a little later on, different opportunities to engage with one another. If you want to reach out to us, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, when you call that number, Terrific T answers the phone. That's like getting everything right the first time when you order food at a restaurant. That's nice. Hey, hey, right? Hey, hey. Oh, I got it all right. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? That's what happens if you contact her. Also, you can text us here at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, that little at sign, hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, I hope everybody's doing good. This is Wednesday. I don't know, this is like the midday, right? Like the midpoint of the week. I'd like you to keep a couple things in prayer. It's always important. First of all, when we're doing this show, a lot of people are not aware, this is all live. This is not scripted. Yep, our intros are scripted, and our exits are scripted, and that's about it. So about two lines in and about two lines out. The rest of it we're just depending on and hoping that the Lord will allow us to do three things: to encourage, educate, and entertain Bible-believing Christians, not Bible-believing Christians, and people who are Bible-believing Christians but have taken kind of a long walk off a short pier. We're trying to help them come back. Because even if you've had a tough time in your walk, it's never the Lord's fault. If you had a bad church experience, I had a terrible church experience, it's not the Lord's fault. It's not God's fault that people proclaim him and then don't really reveal him or don't really live in him. That is something people have been doing for quite some time. Check out the Ten Commandments. You'll kind of see a little hint in there. Here's the bottom line. We want you to be encouraged in the faith in the Lord. We're going to cover a couple of different things today. We're going to obviously do our history, and I'll probably do some jokes in the next hour. I got some cute another cute joke. So I have a really bitey one, so I might do that. I might switch it out. I'll give T the opportunity to figure that out. We'll talk about DNA and all that other stuff. In the meantime, there's something that I want you to be aware of. With all the stuff that's going on in your life, there is not a circumstance, not one, that is greater than God himself. There is nothing that God cannot change. If the Lord desires, he stops the earth in its rotation, the sun in its rotation, the moon in its rotation. Essentially, God shut down the solar system for 24 hours because he so desired. He spoke and there was life. He spoke and there was a universe. And not just our little solar system, but the universe. All of the systems, simply by the word of his mouth. I think there's many times we come into this faith and we forget, hey, God, he's in charge. Remember what it says in the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, science. Not in the beginning, you know, Muhammad. Not in the beginning, Buddha. Not in the beginning, Confucius. Not in the beginning, anything. In the beginning, God. And that's all you and I have to know. In fact, because God is an interlinear being, which means that he lives in all times, at all times, and we are linear beings, which means that we have a very specific starting point and a very specific ending point that we understand. Because he's interlinear, he's all-knowing. And he knows what will take place and what will go down. And when God is with you, for you, on your side, you don't have to let anxiety be kind of like a wristwatch. You know, you don't have to put it on and look at it every so often just to make sure it's still there. In fact, even before I get in my text, which I'll now get into in the next segment because I'm doing this right here, it's really important for people to understand that Jesus wanted us to be very careful about our anxiety, very careful about that in the sense that we do not give it power or strength or too much time. And a lot of people that I know, myself included, have given way too much mind time to our struggles. And we look at them and we think, I just don't get this. I just want God to fix this. I want it to be this way. And I appreciate that. And I not only do I sympathize, I empathize in both ways with that. But the reality check for the Christian is that we are surrendered in submission consistently to the desires of the Father, that we have been able to have a relationship with him through the redeeming work of the Son, and we're able to carry out his work and walk through the power of the Holy Spirit. Between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are fully equipped to engage and to conquer and prevail through whatever it is that has come before us. And just when you think that there's nothing that we can do in a situation, there's no answers, there's no hope, just like the children of Israel, when they got to the Red Sea, there's just no answer, there's no hope. Here comes the Egyptian army. If you can take a second and think back to how the entire people of Israel, unarmed, were turning around and looking. Right? They weren't armed like the Egyptian army. The Egyptian army had everything. And they turn back and they look, and there's an army coming for all of them. And on the other side is this raging Red Sea. And in that situation, there was no hope. I think we saw the movie, we saw the special effects. We don't realize the greatness, the power that God cleared a pathway through those waters, and the walls of the waters were on both sides. And the Bible says that they walked through on the ground and the ground was dry. You think, well, there has to be some mud. No, there doesn't. Because even though they were against the impossible, God split the sea wide open and said, let's rock and roll to the other side. And then you got different people who will say, oh, well, that was just low tide. Well, then the entire Egyptian army drowned in low tide. I mean, that's dumb. So the bottom line is that you and I, we go through these circumstances, these situations, and I don't think anybody out there like me, I don't want answers any less than you do. I want answers. I want things. I want the Lord to say, it's this, it's this. I want that. I want the telegram. You know, I saw Blazing Saddles. Telegram from Mr. Mongo. I mean, if you guys remember that. I want that. I want to know what's going on. But the Lord doesn't always give you that. That's where the genuineness of faith and trust. Now listen to what I just said. The genuine. Don't talk about it. Don't give it platitude. You really have to trust God that this situation is in the palm of his hand. And he's going to free you at the perfect time for deliverance. And he'll do it so that you can see his commitment to you, yes, but more so that you can recognize how cool or how awesome or how fantastic or how holy or how respectful and how much awe we should have for God that he's taken so much time to be a part of us. Your circumstance is nothing compared to the king of the universe. Never forget that. Okay? All right. Since I went completely off track, we'll just exit here and then I'll do something else when we come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We want to get rolling on our first trivia question. Not a difficult question. and many of you have answered this before, but there's reasons, believe it or not, that I actually repeat trivia questions. There's a method to the madness. Let's just say that as nice as we can. Your question is, what relationship was Lois to Timothy? Okay, what relationship was Lois to Timothy? Not what relationship was Lois to Clark Kent. It's what your relationship was, what the relationship was between Lois and Timothy. I can tell those who do not know, if you do not know, you want to look it up in 2 Timothy 1, the relationship between Lois and Timothy. Okay? All right. That's kind of the easiest way to put it. If you think you know the answer, the easiest thing to do would be to call in 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Or you can text in at 214-210-8483. Before we do anything else, let's do our DNA. So people have asked, what is DNA? What's the makeup? How does that work? What's the deal? So if you can relax a little and take a deep breath, DNA are the building blocks of the human beings. That's what they're made of. And so what I use for DNA is I just think, well, what could be good building blocks for Christians? Now, I'm not trying to say this in any other sense, but in a practicality sense, what is the way that Christians can operate on a daily basis? That's kind of where we're coming from, okay? That's what we're saying. So there's three letters that we'll use, the DNA, same formula that's used in our helix development. And the first one, D, stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. And the reason that T comes in there and says that is because I want that change between, well, draw closer to the Lord. Yes, I can just say that all day long. Draw closer to the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord. But if you don't draw closer to the Lord daily, you're missing it. Okay? It's not twice a year, though if you don't go at all, twice a year is better than nothing. It is not twice a week. It's all that Jesus said when you pray, and then he gave an example of how to pray. And one of the things he said in his prayer was, give us this day our daily bread, indicating that prayer should be daily. And I will tell you this, and you guys don't know this, and I don't know if I'll go into this today or not, but I did that survey, right? And so we asked a certain amount of questions. The weakest area across the board was prayer. I thought was amazing. I actually thought it was going to be fellowship, but I was wrong. So that's an important part of our lives. Draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. No matter what anybody says, no matter what nut job on television said, who cares? These people on the internet, Twitter and on Facebook and on the internet and on magazines and books and newspapers and media and so on and so forth, they don't have a heaven to put you in. Why do you care? So D, never draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, and A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, because service means that you're minded or thoughtful of God and you're thoughtful of other people. And the command is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Boy, that was a deepie. That was a deep one. Again, the trivia question for people who want to know, what relationship was Lois to Timothy? And the answer is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you want to text that in, you can do it at 214-210-8483, or you can also call, and we got a short time on this, but 972-445-0770. I want to take you back to Matthew. We started off in Matthew 2 weeks ago. Let's see. Today is the 21st, so we did this like 16 days ago or whatever. It was the last time I taught it, and I want to go back to it because this is – when we get into the Beatitudes and the different elements in chapter 6 and 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, it's just such some of the most amazing teachings ever in all of humanity. But we got to get there first. So here's what it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try and kill the child. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. That prophecy, by the way, is in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. A phenomenal element in Matthew that people need to understand is the connection between Jesus Christ and Israel. Guess who else God called out of Egypt? Why, by golly, it was Israel. And so there might be a movement afoot, and there's been for probably 100 years or so about, well, Israel's not that important. Da, 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 da. It's just like, that's so ridiculous. You can't even read the scriptures and think that that's really correct.
Well, they had it reestablished in 1948
and in the fulfillment of prophecy. And even in that framework, if you look at the history of Israel from 1948 on, the 1967 war, I'm telling you, they should have got slaughtered. They should have got whooped. It was miraculous that they prevailed the way they did. Jesus connects to Israel. I called my son out of Egypt. What's wonderful about this prophecy that comes out of Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, is understanding in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament has a perspective on how God called Israel, his son, out of Egypt, and the New Testament has a perspective. They're not canceling each other out. You're looking at a coin from different angles. It's the same thing we say about an elephant. If you come from the east and the west, the north and the south, the east and the west may look similar on the elephant, but I can guarantee you the descriptions on the north and the south are going to be substantially different. And so there's the same thing that you're looking at from a different point of view, from a different angle. And I think you can really just find this out in your own life. Just go to any picture in your house and go to one side, go to the left side and then concentrate on the left, and go to the right side and concentrate on the right. You're going to see, oh, wait, that's the same picture, different emphasis. That's pretty normal. The bottom line is that Jesus is deeply connected to Israel. And people are thinking that he's not. It's kind of weird. Of course he is. And what's fantastic is, again, just like we talked about in the book of Acts, where the angels talked about the prophecy of Jesus returning and the outpouring of the Spirit being the prophecy fulfillment for Joel, here's more prophecy being fulfilled. In the beginning of the gospel, this is fulfillment. Defining Jesus Christ as the Son of God, defining Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And the great thing about that is his name was Emmanuel, which means God with us. All affirmations that God is with us. He doesn't hate us. He's not trying to wipe us. So you think if God wanted to wipe out the planet, you don't think he could? Of course he could. And so you see this wonderful connection. Now, we're not spending a lot of time, and I'll just keep it really short on this one part. It says, get up, flee to Egypt with the child and the mother. Stay there. Herod is going to try and kill the child. If anybody thinks that being a Christian is just, eating cotton candy and Skittles all day long, and you just get to go to the fair, and you just get to ride on the merry-go-round, you have no idea what Christianity is. Christianity is a consistent warfare, and you get to see right here that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, his life was in danger. You think you're going to be a Christian without having moments and opportunities of danger where the enemy tries to stop you? That's ridiculous. Of course he's going to try and stop you. You're against his kingdom. You're for the kingdom of light. He's for the kingdom of darkness. And so there's real danger. There's a real genuine danger for people in Christianity. You got to make a choice now. Would I lay down my life for Jesus Christ? I bet you haven't heard this story. If you have, you haven't heard it in a while. Remember what happened in church out in Sudan where the guys busted in on a church service, had their guns ready, and said, okay, we're going to kill everybody in here, but because we're nice people, we're going to give you 60 seconds to exit if you want to leave. And a bunch of people left and a bunch of people stayed. And after that happened, they laid down their guns. And they said, we have no intention of hurting anybody. We just won't worship with anybody who won't give up their lives for Jesus Christ. Like, what? Urban legend? Probably. Good point? Yes. We have to be willing, no matter what it takes, no matter what does happen. I remember still James Robeson when he taught. Now, we have his clip on everyone, but he taught, and he was firm as can be. He said, one day they're going to take away the tax exempts. They're going to take away this. They're going to do all this stuff, and you have to decide right then and there, I am still a minister of Jesus Christ or I am not. And he said that to a room full of pastors in Phoenix, Arizona. It was like, wow. Like, how serious are we about our faith? Well, it's awesome faith as long as it's comfortable. It's like, I don't think everything that Jesus went through was comfortable. I could be wrong. Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. I got to answer trivia, right? Okay. Got my doorkeeper here making sure I'm okay. That's what we call people when you call in. That's the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper. Okay. The question was, let me bring it back up to you real quickly. The question was, what relationship was Lois to Timothy? Lois was grandma. Lois was grandma. Eunice was mom. And then Lois was her mom. And so they were deeply connected. So grandmas have an impact. Get that? Moms have an impact, but so do grandmas. Dads have an impact, but so do grandpas. They all have impact if you're aware of what's going on. Okay, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Here we go. Let me give you an update on Easton Scott. A lot of tough stuff that my daughter and my son-in-law have been going through. I did send an email out. I don't know if, Julie, if you got the email or not. I did. I sent it out to everybody. So he was going through 20 and 30 seizures per episode, and they've got that down to a dramatically less amount. But the sad news is that from a medical point of view, Easton does not appear, as according to the doctors, that he will be able to speak or will be able to care for himself. Oh. And so what the result of that is that Julianne and Jared, my son-in-law and my daughter, have recognized that God has put them in a position to be the best parents, to love Easton Scott with all that they can and give him the best life that they can. But while that's going on, they're not going to stop believing that something can change. And the doctors even said, this is territory we don't even know.
Right, because this is a problem that not very many people have had. So
very few.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, and they have like 230 total cases in the world that they have records on, which is like, so they're like, we don't know.
Right.
And it's like, so I just want to read this one thing my daughter wrote. It's a fantastic. She wrote this, you know, it's not easy to sit there and write a Facebook post that tells all the things you've been going through. And so I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read the last paragraph because I thought that was really significant. She wrote, scientifically, Easton does not have much of a chance. His best case scenario is he may possibly be able to walk and say 3 to 5 words one day. But God can help him. He's not afraid of impossible odds. And if Easton is healed one day, there will be no question as to where it comes from. It will not be because of therapy, and it will not be because of medication or diet. It will be because of God's undeniable healing power. So in the meantime, we choose to raise a hallelujah and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faith. Now, the idea that it's going to be simple and everything's going to be great and they're trying to make pie in the sky, that doesn't exist at all. If you read this, and I think Wonder Julie can attest to it, she tells you this is ugly.
Right.
This is not a good situation. It's going to change our lives. He's never going to be able to be unattended. It doesn't look good. And, you know, as a parent, you're heartbroken. They have two other children. They don't want to have any loss in their communication with their kids, but they're going to have to give extra attention. They were going to have a fourth child. They're not sure they're going to do that now. So you got a lot of things in play. But what you can't deny is that I won't take credit, but I'll stand in there as a grandparent and as a parent and say, what a fantastic position of faith that my daughter has grown into. She has made the determination that she will do the best that she can as a human being to give this child the best life she can, and she will not quit hoping.